RadioInfluence.com.
Flavor, flavor. Please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around. No fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here. It's here.
Flavor.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Flavor in the Ear. This is Ian Beckles on this fine Friday. This is one of two podcasts that I do weekly where we talk about pop culture and a little bit of sports and politics and really everything. We touch a little bit on everything. I have another podcast as well, In the Trenches, which primarily we talk about football. And now we're going to have Trevor Sikkema from JoeBucksFan.com. That's going to be joining me on Monday. I've been doing this podcast coming up on a year now. And people are listening, and that's a good thing. I appreciate you guys listening. We're actually looking for a title sponsor. So if anybody has a business out there that wants to be a title sponsor for this podcast, let me know. Contact me on my social media at Ian Beckles. So it's Friday now. Sunday is going to be Easter and also April Fool's, the first time that's been both since 1945. So enjoy. What does that mean? I don't think it means really anything, to be honest with you. But just something hasn't happened in a long time. I'll be chilling like it's just any other day. I don't even know what Easter represents anymore, but I don't know if anybody knows what any holidays represent. So I guess it doesn't really matter. So some of the big things happening this week. The big reboot of Roseanne came out, and everybody loved it. I'm going to be as honest as I can. I didn't watch it. I missed it when it came out. I didn't DVR it. I wish I did. I would have went back and watched it. I don't have enough energy to go back and pull it up on demand. I don't really want to watch it that badly. Maybe someday I'll go back and watch it. From what I hear, everybody enjoyed it. 18 million people watched it. The great Donald Trump contacted Rosie O'Donnell. And Roseanne, and the told her congratulations. It was wonderful. Why he probably didn't watch it, but he probably heard that she's a big Trump fan. So there's not a lot of them out there. So if you just say John, I like you, then he's going to call you up and compliment you. That's kind of the way it is. You know, we brought up the athletes and kneeling quite often. I'm going to bring it up again. The athletes that are kneeling still are being called SOBs by Donald Trump, and Colin Kaepernick still can't find a job in America where he's clearly one of the top 32 in the world. Roseanne, who grabbed her crotch and spat after the anthem after making a mockery of it, she has 18 million people watching her. So I guess everything is still okay and it makes sense. Roseanne, she has been known to put out some anti-Semitic rants. I laughed at the show back in the day, but her as a person, I'm not a huge fan. But it's going to spark a bunch of reboots are coming because they redid Will and Grace. 10 million people watched that first one, which is a big number now. But having 18 million with Roseanne, you're going to see more, you know, shows pop up. There's rumors of Married with Children, which I'd probably watch. My girl Katie and Christina Applegate's fine too. I would watch that. The people were talking about that 70s show and Martin as well, if you guys ever watched Martin from back in the day. So a lot of stuff is probably going to be surfacing because there's not a lot of fresh new shows out there. There's not a lot of fresh meat, I don't find. I hear about a lot of new shows, but they don't last. And really, to be honest with you, I think people have already done it. You know, things are getting old and redundant, just like really the music. Nobody's really coming out with anything all that fresh. So keep your eyes open for all that kind of stuff. Now, there's so many people figuring out what they're going to do with their lives. And it seems like the new generation, I mean, nobody wants to dig ditches for a living, right? Obviously. And the new thing is, you know, you used to ask somebody, what do you want to do for a living? They would say, I want to be an athlete, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer. Now the new thing is, I want to be a YouTube star, or, you know, I want to be a social media mogul. Listen to another thing that people are doing, and whether this is good or bad, I don't know. Probably, you know, I'm leaning more towards it's bad. First of all, let me give you a statistic. In 2017, video games made $36 billion. In 2017, $36 billion. Now, you wonder what, you know, what that has to do with somebody coming out of high school or college. Well, this young man, Dan TDM, was the highest paid YouTube star who earned last year $16.5 million and had 12 billion views of him playing video games. He had he got 12 billion views of him playing various video games. If not, if that's not the most genius thing I've ever heard in my goddamn life, I don't know. So you're going to have a kid that really been sitting in his room his whole life playing video games, probably doesn't have but one friend who's real nerdy and probably can't see the sunlight, and he's going to make $16.5 million to sit in a room and have 12 billion views in 1 year. 12 billion. When you have 12 billion views, you can't help but to make money. People are going to throw money at you. And there's tournaments out there that are paying, there's $24 million in prize money. There's some colleges giving out scholarships for video game skills. And the great Steven Spielberg is coming out with a movie, Ready Player One, which I guess is depicted after a book. I mean, I'm not going to watch it. But it's almost to a point now where a kid says, well, I want to be a video game star. And you can't tell them you're full of crap. You can't, because there's people out there making oodles and oodles and oodles of money. And I guess that's the pretty much the American dream. Now, if you get paid a lot of money to play video games, God bless. If you guys remember the name Jeremy Meeks, if you talk about the American dream, this is truly American dream right here. Jeremy Meeks was a young man, face tattoo, probably the only guy in the world getting away with a face tattoo that doesn't scare people. He has like a little teardrop, which means you've done bad stuff, but he's light-skinned enough to get away with it. He was in prison 2 years ago, and he took a mugshot, and everybody went gaga over his mugshot. He's a good-looking guy, good bone structure, light skin. That was 2 years ago. He just signed a huge contract with some kind of model agency, got all kind of money, dumped his wife, impregnated a billionaire's heiress. Boy, I tell you what, he done hit the jackpot. He's good for the rest of his life. If you impregnate a billionaire's heiress, that's like hitting the lottery at its highest peak. He's never going to want again for the rest of his life. That's it. And you want to talk about the American dream. Jeremy Meeks is still somebody who just came out of jail with a face tattoo. I don't know that billionaire, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say he was pissed when his daughter got knocked up by a face tattoo dude right out of jail. Billionaires, I mean, you know, not just billionaires. Nobody likes that. Oh, here's my daughter's baby daddy with the face tattoo that just got out of jail. That's a wonderful conversation that's going to come up after that. So, Jeremy Meeks, you want to talk about American Dream? That might be it right there. 2 years ago in jail, now he's absolutely set for life. Now, for those of you that love music like I do, Prince is one of my favorite artists of all time. And I heard Prince was one of the only artists that doesn't take drugs and blah, blah, blah. I've heard that a lot. And I always said he's a little bit too creative to not have done drugs. That's just not going to happen. Anyways, when the toxicology came out, Prince had the equivalent of 20 times the amount of fentanyl in his body needed to kill someone. Now, Prince is a little bitty piece of a dude now. Like his whole body probably is the equivalent of my left leg. But if you have 20 times the amount of fentanyl in your body that could kill somebody, that's still a lot regardless how big you are. And then you got to start asking the question, where did you get it from? Why did you have that much? Why are you not being monitored? And, you know, we went through this whole thing with Michael Jackson and propofol. And I think his doctor might have spent some time in jail. Not positive about that, but I know he was definitely on trial for a while. You have to start looking at some of these doctors, man. What's the difference? What's the difference between, you know, Juan overdosing on heroin and you finding his drug dealer, what's the difference between that and Prince overdosing on fentanyl and you knowing where he got the drugs from? What's the difference? In money? That's it? It seems like nobody really wants to go after the root of this, which is our system and money. The doctors and the pharmaceutical companies are making so much damn money that I don't think there's any way we can stop this. I really don't. I know there's no way we can stop this. And, you know, you want to think you're making a difference as we go, but I never hear anything really changing. I really don't. I hear zero changing. You know, when you talk about the gun laws, everybody wants to say the gun laws are going to change. Nothing has changed. Not really. You know, Trump came out and blurted out, we eliminated that bump stock. And then they found out they didn't. So whatever your president tells you, you can't even believe him. You want to believe if your president says something that it's like his words bond, you want to believe that, but that definitely ain't the case. There was people talking about repealing the Second Amendment. You know, there was some old judge, he was 90-something, he was talking about repealing the Second Amendment. You know who's going to make out is gun stores. As soon as one person says that, everybody's going to go buy 24 guns. I'm thinking about opening up a gun store, seriously. If they keep on messing with this kind of dialogue and they're moving towards eliminating guns or making it a lot tougher like they should, boy, anybody that owns a gun shop is not going to be able to keep a gun. So if you want to get in a good investment right now, I would put my money into a gun shop. Quick, fast, and a hurry, that's for sure. Now, watching all these different shows, they had a Harvard psychologist I was watching on a show who looked like Einstein, ironically. And he says, basically, we're in the best time ever. And I laughed and I go, this is crazy. And you know what? After he finished talking, I really, really agreed with him. I really did. With everything happening and the culture of our world right now, we are so uber-sensitive that it'll be the point now of you're not going to hear a lot of homophobic jokes. Like comedians are making homophobic jokes forever. Comedians have been making racial jokes forever. Comedians have been making sexist jokes forever. Now you make a joke and then they have to put it on every show and ask whether it's insensitive and blah, blah, blah. You're a comedian. Yes, comedians are insensitive. That's the way it goes. We are too sensitive as a people. But supposedly there's a lot less now, and it's true, a lot less racial jokes. You know, you can't go around your job now and make racial jokes. It's going to be, if you're a boss and you're walking around your job, you're making racial jokes, I think people are so leery of what's happening that you're going to be in trouble. Homophobic jokes, I mean, I remember way back when I used to use the F word for a homosexual, I didn't know any better. I won't use it anymore. It's not in my vocabulary anymore. I won't say it. I hear other people say it now. It makes me cringe a little bit. And I usually go, hey, you need to ease up a little bit. And like, how much has that changed? Sexist jokes. You know, I've been in a lot of places before where, you know, talking about women like they're objects. I don't do that. I love women now. Don't get me wrong. But you can tell when somebody's talking to about a woman and they just don't have any respect. That's where I believe it gets ugly and nasty. But he says we're in the best place because everybody's so sensitive. I'm going to disagree because if somebody's thinking twice whether they're going to say a racial joke in front of me, if you're racist, I'd rather hear you say the joke. I would rather know you're racist so I don't waste my time trying to befriend you. I probably wouldn't anyways, but I would rather know the truth. Don't hide the truth. Hiding the truth sucks. Then I got to go through and I got to get to know you, and we could have, you know, skipped all that bull crap. We really could have. But, you know, he was saying that right now is the best time, you know, to be an American, and I don't know if that's the case, but we're gonna find out here real soon. The great Jared Fogle, you remember the great Jared Fogle from Subway? He, in lieu of everything else going on right now, wants to get out of prison, obviously. because of all the people I didn't think would survive in prison would be Jared from Subway. I don't know. Like, I don't think he's in Gen Pop. I don't believe. But he might be. I don't know. They're not going to show him any love. He touched little boys. They don't get any love. And it's not, you know, like most of the time when somebody touched little boys and they go to jail, they don't tell anybody because, you know, of abuse, obviously. But I think everybody knows who Jared is. Like, he's not going to be all high too far. But he wants the president to pardon him. He wants the president to pardon him. Now, there's been rumors of President Trump going to pardon Manafort and Flynn. Wouldn't shock me. That wouldn't shock me. If it would shock you, shame on you. You're not watching. President Trump, the only person I can remember him pardoning is that Joe Arpaio, who is a racist pig. Go and listen to him speak. The hairs on your arms, I hope the hairs on your arms are going up when that guy speaks, because that guy, to me, is the devil. Go listen to him. That's what the devil sounds like to me. But Jared wants a pedophile pardon. So I don't think that's going to be a good thing for the president. Although, the president have stood behind, you know, adulterers, domestic abusers. He stood behind a lot. I want to say a lot worse, but I don't think anything might be worse than that. That really might be the worst thing around, to be honest with you. So let's keep our eye on that and see what happens. Everybody remembers the name Corey Feldman. He said he was pulled over and stabbed. Now, there was people there that didn't see the stabbing, and there was no wound. And then he came out and said, I was stabbed by a needle. Now, Corey Feldman, if you remember him from way back when, he always seemed to be dressed like Michael Jackson for some reason. Like, even when he was just normal, he was dressed like Michael Jackson, which to me was very, very weird. I guess that was his thing. And it seems like he's still doing it. He's like 55 or something. So it's probably time for him to stop doing that. But he said he was stabbed by a needle, but nobody saw anybody do it, and he didn't have a puncture wound in his body. And I heard somebody bring this conspiracy theory up. He's going to come down with something real quick. Watch. He's going to come down with something, and he's going to say, whoever stabbed me gave me whatever it is he comes down with. So keep an eye on that one. That will be interesting. Corey Feldman, it just seems always very confused. I know he went through a lot. I believe he was raped as a little kid and by his managers, and he's been through some bad stuff. But like I said, he always seemed very confused, like he didn't know what side he was really on. I'm not really sure what side he's on right now. Now, they had a sighting with Judge Judy and Samuel Jackson in the club. And, I mean, I think that's like the best couple I've heard of in a long time. I hope Samuel hits the bottom of that, Judge Judy. By the way, Samuel Jackson is worth $200 million. Judge Judy, $350 million. So, it's a lot of cheese over there. A whole lot of cheese. I'm gonna touch really quickly on sports because I don't like to get too gassed up on stuff going on now. I watched the Rays play yesterday. They won a game, came back, and listening to the lineup, I think everybody's basically named who to me because I don't know anybody other than Kevin Kiermaier and his very dreamy eyes. I don't know anybody on the Rays pretty much. I know Denard Span because I know him personally, but he's a new Ray in there as well. So they won the first game, and Rays fans are going to be so optimistic, but not so fast, my friend. It's going to be a very, 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 very long season. I see that happening. And our Lightning lose, and I'm going to continue to say this. I don't see a Stanley Cup winning team. I see a good hockey team, but I don't see a Stanley Cup winning team. They're lacking something. I'm not quite sure what it is. Now, my favorite part, the politics. This young man, David Hogg, from the Parkland shootings, he, one of the survivors, obviously, he's kind of spearheaded the whole thing, and his name's been on all this, and he was really one of the key speakers in the whole Parkland with the kids and representing the kids. I guess he applied to the majority of the California schools and got rejected. And it was a big story in a lot of different news outlets. I know TMZ had it maybe a couple times. He interviewed on TMZ. And, you know, I watched it initially, and I really had a lot of the same sentiments that Laura Ingraham had. I might not have said it the same, but as everybody's bitching and moaning that he didn't get into a California school, I'm thinking, so what? There's thousands and thousands of people that are applying. Just because you led a march means you should have to go to every school and be accepted by every school. So I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't feeling for the dude. I really wasn't. You know, Laura Ingraham came out of Fox News and basically she said he was whining. I don't know if he was whining. I think it was more the media that was making such a big deal that he didn't get accepted. I'm not going to jump on the kid because I don't think the kid said anything wrong. You know, the fact that he's interviewing, he's probably been interviewing with, you know, different news stations for the last couple months. So that's really a normal thing for him. So to talk about not getting accepted, it's not him whining. But I found that people, I know TMZ, Harvey Levin, he was up in arms. You should bring this kid in and this kid should be accepted. And I understand what Harvey was saying because, you know, grades are great, but to have that, you know, that much leadership qualities, I mean, that's who's going to run our world. So if I was a school, that's the kind of kid I would like to bring in. Who knows how much they weighed in on that? I mean, I don't know if they weighed in on all. A lot of these applications were in a long, long time ago. But Laura Ingraham at first said, yep, that's what I think. I'm not pulling it back. And then, you know, Hulu jumped out, Johnson & Johnson. And now there's like 10 or 12, you know, different endorsers that are pulling out. When you talk about Johnson & Johnson and Hulu and big companies like that, that's big money. And now all of a sudden she apologizes. I'm not sure she doesn't lose her job. When you mess with 12 endorsers and their monies, you may and probably will lose your job. You think about Bill O'Reilly and what Bill O'Reilly went through. They gave up tens of millions of dollars in litigation money. But the second sponsors start pulling out, that's when Bill O'Reilly got fired. And nothing before that. And the name Laura Ingraham, if you remember her, she's the one that told LeBron James to basically, you know, shut up and dribble. Now, the part that made me kind of sick to my stomach, though, was they implemented the word cyberbullying. Because she said he was whining, they said that it was cyberbullying. I mean, when I talk about hate, I hate that crap. Seriously, it's too much. That's definitely too much for me. It's cyberbullying. Wah. Come on. You're just giving somebody your opinion. Bullying is pushing somebody and just typing some words. That's bullying. We don't come from the same neighborhood, that's for sure. I was exposed to some bullying and it had to do with fists and hands and territory, not, you know, characters. To me, you can't bully with no goddamn characters. No way. If you're not in the same room with somebody, you can't bully them. Not in the world that I came from. You know, when you're watching TV and, you know, mostly CNN, when you watch Fox News stays away from Stormy Daniels. Boy, they will flee from Stormy Daniels. It'll be in the middle of the conversation of Stormy Daniels talking, and they don't want to talk about that because to them it's silly, and it should be silly to everybody, but they can't even say that he didn't do it. And the only person saying Trump that didn't sleep with Stormy Daniels is Trump's lawyer. Trump hasn't. Trump's wife hasn't. Nobody will, because he slept with her. Of course he did. That's why the money was transferred. They're really trying to dig deep and find out about, you know, the litigation part and whether he broke some rules politically. But they're still talking about, and Stormy Daniels and her lawyer who's using this situation to, you know, become the next Furman. I don't know who he's going to become, but he's everywhere. His face is everywhere, okay? Everywhere with everybody interviewing. Half the interviews I see with him become, you know, fighting matches. And a lot of political television is that now, and it's really hard to watch. But, you know, there was two porn stars were involved with Donald Trump, and a couple things were kind of eerie. I was watching an interview with both of the porn. One was a porn star, one's a playmate, whatever, same thing. They're just a couple different letters. He told both of the young ladies that they remind him of Ivanka. if that's not weird, okay? You know, way back when Trump did say, if she wasn't my daughter, I would be dating her, which I don't know any father would say that personally. That's really weird. Now, Stormy Daniels was taking a chance because Trump's lawyer was talking about, you know, fining her and suing her $1 million in appearance. And when you watch the interview of her and the way she was talking about, you know, their interactions sexually, I think she lets you in the mind of a prostitute or a hoe. Because listen to the things that she said. She said she went to the bathroom. She came back out of the bathroom. And Trump was kind of perched on the bed, ready to go. And here are some of the things that she said to herself. And she said this in an interview. Here we go. And then Anderson Cooper said, did you really want to sleep with him? And she says, no, I really didn't. Were you attracted to him? No, but she slept with him anyways. Then she also said this to herself. You deserve this. And I wrote it down so I didn't misquote it. She said to herself, you deserve this. I think that's a bad existence for a young lady. When you're telling yourself that you deserve something that you have to give up that's supposed to be precious, but whatever, the preciousness is gone. Once you're a porn star, I guess the preciousness of that is gone. And she basically said sleeping with him was a business decision. And I'm trying to tell you guys out there that don't listen to me. Whores don't care. They don't care. They're going to get your money eventually, somehow, and there's no way around it. When I'm listening to a lot of this, you know, rhetoric going on with the Republicans and the Democrats, it's funny how I hear language, how the same situation is verbalized differently. I was listening to, I think it was Fox News, and they're talking about Donald Trump and with women. And this is how they said, why is anybody shocked? We all knew Donald Trump was a ladies' man. Now, if I said somebody's a ladies' man, if I said, look, this guy's a ladies' man, would I be saying he's screwing whores? Would I be saying that? Or would I be saying, this guy's clean, he's good with the women, women love him, regardless, I'm going to use the word pimp, it's probably not the best word in that situation, but women get him and they love him. Is that Donald Trump? They said Donald Trump is a ladies' man. Get the hell out of here. Who the hell thinks Donald Trump's a ladies' man? What lady out there thinks Donald Trump's sexy? Put your hand up. I don't see not one hand. I've never heard a woman say Donald Trump's sexy. Not one time. Melania's never said it. She's asked for his checkbook, but she's never said he was sexy. So there's so much crazy stuff going out there. When I put CNN on, all night it's Stormy. Stormy Daniels, blah, blah, over and over. And I put on Fox News. You know what Fox News is talking about? They're discrediting our FBI. And I'm like, this world is not in a good place. It's not. It's like we're almost a Truman Show, and there's other countries watching us and laughing at us. Seriously. And the Stormy Daniels interview was the highest rated since 08. 22 million people watched that crap. I was one. Now, Michael Avenatti, who is Stormy Daniels' lawyer, wants to depose Trump. If Trump ever goes up on any type of stand anywhere in any capacity where he can't lie, that'll be the last thing he does. Because I'm telling you, everybody around Donald Trump knows very well if he gets put up on a stand or he gets deposed in any way, his regime is over. Because nobody can make Donald Trump say what he should say, which is the truth. I think it's to the point where he believes the things that he's saying. I really do. So if they depose Donald Trump, to me, it's basically going to be the beginning of the end, and that's it. No doubt about that. You know, some of the things happening in our crazy world, I'm watching some of these crazy videos of shootings and all kind of crap like that. Stephon Clark was a shooting that went on, and the White House basically said that it's a local matter. Now, 20 rounds were put in Stephon Clark, an African-American kid. 20 rounds. There was a report that there was an African-American kid in backyards. He was jumping over fences. The cops came at him and said, freeze. He took a step towards the cops with his cell phone in his hand. Now, I get the shots. I get it. I really do. If you're a cop, you don't have a lot of time to think about whether that's a cell phone or a gun. You really don't. So if somebody says freeze and there's cops, you either put your hands up immediately or hit the ground or do something to where you don't look like you're threatening to the cops. You can't step towards the cops. You can't. He stepped towards the cops and they shot. I'm okay with that. It went pow, pow, pow. Okay, he hits the ground. It's nothing's in his hand now. You don't have to put 17 more bullets in him. Now, not only that, it took, now, and this is the part that's maybe worse than putting 20 rounds in the kid. Cops are so desensitized and dehumanized that it took them 5 minutes after the last bullet was shot to go help the kid. And he was bleeding out, not moving. 5 minutes. I mean, what is human or humane about that? You know, put your family member in that scenario and tell me you're going to be okay with it. They shot your family member to death and watched him bleed out as they're talking to each other. Is he okay? Oh, should we go get him? 5 minutes. You know how long 5 minutes is to be laying there? He didn't move the whole time. If you're walking up with somebody to somebody that's laying on the ground, not moving, and they have nothing in their hand, they can't grab something and shoot you. Go and tend to the kid. Seriously. And the things like that drive me absolutely batty, and everybody's going to justify it. They're going to justify that. The kid, Philando Castillo, that got shot in his car as well. He was in his car, and he told the cops, I have a gun, and he reached for the gun to present it, and they put a couple, you know, I don't know how many bullets it was, but it was a whole lot of bullets. By the way, they're shooting the guy to death, and his girlfriend is in the passenger seat, and there's a kid in the back seat, okay? So tell me how sensitive this is. After they killed her boyfriend, they handcuffed her and put her in the back seat. With her kid in the back seat. So she's tripping over her boyfriend just being killed. And she's in the back seat of the car, handcuffed. I mean, there's things, and some people are going to be okay with that. I just think people are, they're forgetting that they're human. Like, they're supposed to be human people over here. We're supposed to act like we're human. And at times, we act like we're animals, seriously. And with all the gun problems that we have, and when you bring up the word gun control, people get real tight-butted. You know, butts get real, real tight when you talk about gun control, because nobody wants anything controlled. They had the marches the other day, which were huge, amazing crowds. Then I saw some statistics. We thought that march was all about the kids. 10% of the marchers were under 18. 10%. That's a very small number. The average age of the adult was 49. That's a pretty high number. So it's the same people belly aching and complaining. Now, you would think that a march for kids that were survivors of Parkland and the shooting, you would think that the motivation is gun control. I thought that was the motivation. I thought that's what everybody was there for. So they polled a bunch of people, and the majority of the people said they were there protesting for peace and anti-Trump. So, I mean, if you think that's good for our country, I would have to disagree. I mean, that's not good for our country to have that many people. And this, I'm not a fan of the president. Obviously, you listen to the show, I'm not a fan. But mass gatherings that are against him, and that's, I think it's going to happen organically. But I think that's where we are right now. And that's a funny, funny, funny place to be. And when you listen to the rumors of him, you know, pardoning Manafort and pardoning Flynn and fired somebody else in his cabinet and everybody's justifying every single person he fires, when the long and short of it is, if you don't agree with everything he says, 100%, he's going to fire you. That's the way it goes. If you don't agree with everything he says, he's going to fire you, and soon. No doubt. I mean, that's been documented. So everybody keeps on telling me why somebody was fired when, you know, he doesn't get along with anybody. And I mean nobody. He talked bad about Jared Kushner. He talked bad about everybody. He doesn't give a rat's ass, period. And when I'm listening to, you know, all the different stations talk about politics now, and then I hear somebody say, we have to appoint a council to investigate the council that's investigating the president. Who's appointing a council that investigates the council? Because if the council is, you know, Republican, you can't let Republicans investigate Republicans. And you can't let Democrats investigate Republicans or vice versa, because it's unjust. So how's that going to happen? I mean, everybody's saying that, you know, Mueller is against the president. He's a Republican. Mueller's Republican. Everybody in the investigation is a Republican. Nobody's against him. They're just evaluating him. That's all they're doing. Everybody's about, you know, got to be against him. It's impossible. It's impossible in 2018 to appoint a council that's impartial. It's impossible to happen. It's right now, you're either for Trump or you're against Trump. There's really nothing in between. So if you find a council and somebody's pulling up stuff on Trump and they go, well, what about the time you said this? So if somebody said, Ian, you go and investigate Donald Trump and what's happening with collusion, and I'm investigating it, and I'm getting closer, and I got all this evidence, and somebody goes, well, you can't investigate it. What about that podcast you said when you said this about Trump and that about Trump? I said it, but does it change the investigation? No. It doesn't mean I'm after him. I'm just trying to dig stuff up. So we're at a point now where when we're appointing a council for another council, it's hurting my head. It really is. And I think everybody's kind of confused. And the solution isn't possible, I don't think. Because the two sides that we have, Democrats and Republicans, they're too caught up in being right. And they're too caught up in pointing fingers. And, you know, they're too caught up on being two completely opposite sides, when the solution is always in the middle. But for some reason, we can't use our common sense and ever end up in the middle, and I think that's where we are, unfortunately. Anyways, it's always great talking to you guys. I always like ending with politics because it gets me fired up, and right now it's about as interesting as can be. And you're talking about a guy that used to only watch dumb humor, and now I find myself watching a lot of political television. So that's where we are with that. But this has been Flavor in the Year. I appreciate you guys listening in. In the Trenches, this comes on Monday. If you guys love football like I do, another podcast of mine, you can check it on iTunes, Radio Influence. And if you want to email me, ianbeckles@radioinfluence.com, and email me, and maybe I will answer your email on one of these podcasts, or maybe I'll just hit you up as well. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out. Flavor.
To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter @IanBeckles, and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put your flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's here. That flavor, flavor. Bringing that flavor, flavor.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
I'm excited to talk to Chef Peyton Curry, the cannabis chef.
You know, then I started cooking with cannabis about 15 years ago. And I tell everyone, then it turned into hash fatality because I started putting hash in everything. You know, we are able to do really unique dinner parties, and these are very underground. You know, I was in Minnesota, which it's still super illegal there, but you know, we were pushing the envelope with this vegetable cannabis, and you know, we had a great time with it. We still do, even in a heavily regulated market that we're in now. We still have a very good you know, very good time with this vegetable.
So, it's amazing to watch the transformation of everything.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.